Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here for Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. Want to catch any of the previous episodes we've discussed biblically? That's on at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Love to study with you there anytime on your own accord. Thank you for joining us today. We're talking about Jesus teaching about greatness in regards to humility. And we're giving the background on this. We're in Luke chapter 9. We just read last time we were there, give a quick overview. The Mount of Transfiguration, Luke 9, 28 through 36. Now, Matthew's account's found in Matthew 17. That seems to be the one we reference more often. I find interesting here, verse 32, the Bible says they were asleep, Peter, James, and John. Matthew does not record their sleep. While they are sleeping, Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah. Couple of thoughts here. First off, we see it is evident that we will be able to know someone after they have passed in that great Hadean realm, because evidently, although Peter had never met Moses, Peter never met Elijah, he calls them by name in verse 33. Of course, he speaks out on that one. But Moses, why is he there? Moses is seen as the great lawgiver. Think back to the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Elijah would be represented the first of all the great prophets. So you have the entirety of the Old Testament summed up in two men, the law and the prophets, and yet Christ is greater. There is a voice that comes out of the cloud saying, verse 35, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And notice when the voice was passed, verse 36, only Christ was found alone. See, God says the same words he says at the baptism of Christ in the second chapter of Matthew. Quotation from Psalm 2 and verse 7, by the way. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Yet here he adds the phrase, "Hear him," or "hear ye him." See, we no longer go to Moses, the old law, for our commandments and how we live and worship today. Whenever we no longer go to the law of the prophets, we only go by the word of Christ. Let's continue now reading the word, Luke chapter 9, verse 37 following. "It came to pass on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he's my only child, and lo, a spirit taketh him. And he suddenly crieth out, it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly depart from him. I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring your son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down, tear him. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, and healed the child, and delivered him again to his father." Here we see the disciples of Christ, they cannot heal, yet Christ can. Often thought this might be a representation, maybe the faith of the apostles. They hadn't quite clued into it yet, who Christ was, what all Christ could do. That time would come for them, though. Jesus can heal. Notice the power that this demon has, verse 39. It cries out, it tears him, he's foaming, it's bruising him. And all Christ has to do is cast that unclean spirit out, and the only son of that man is healed. Well, notice verses 43 through 45, and then we'll finally reach our lesson text, where we've been working up to this whole time. "And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one of the things which Jesus did, he spoke unto his disciples, saying, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them. They perceived it not, and they feared to ask him about that saying." Jesus Christ warned of the reason that he came to earth, to be delivered into the hands of men. No doubt some of the men there may have been the same ones that were yelling, crucify him on that hill at Golgotha. They also could have been some of the same ones there at the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost to begin the church in Acts chapter 2. The apostles did not understand this at the time. They understand it in Acts chapter 2. They know what it means then. Join with me now. We finally reach our lesson text here in Luke chapter 9, verses 46 through 48. We'll read all these verses, then we will back up and comment. "Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be the greatest. I find it interesting they are wondering who's going to be the greatest. Of course, Peter, James, and John, we often refer to as the inner three, because Christ brings them along the more things. They were just at the Mount of Transfiguration. We also see they literally could not just heal a man, or a man's son, I should say. So maybe they're wondering, well, who is the greatest? Which one of us? I always wonder what some of the other apostles did while Peter, James, and John were at the Mount of Transfiguration, while Peter, James, and John were there with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, they were all there, but only three went a little bit further. Verse 47, notice, they're reasoning among themselves. Verse 46, 47, Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, they did not say, I wonder who's the greatest. Peter did not turn over to Thaddeus and says, I wonder who's the greatest. They thought it amongst themselves, and Jesus Christ, being omnipotent, being everywhere, omniscient, all-knowing, all-present, he knows their thoughts. So he grabs a child. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is the ultimate master teacher. He's great at using an object lesson. We use object lessons still today. I used one not too long ago in a sermon. I pray to good benefit. We see object lessons help people learn. Jesus Christ takes a child and sets him by him. Now, Christ did not pause to take a break to mention the Arlington Church of Christ, but I need to do that. So hope you'll stay with us. Brother Jim Dearman's going to come back, invite you to services at the Arlington Church of Christ, where I'm honored to be the pulpit minister, and we'll continue reading the Word here in just a moment.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to be back as always. If you want to study any of these sermons, or in this series, they're all online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. You click on the audio file. You can also find bulletin articles there as well. Christ is teaching about who is the greatest in Luke chapter 9, verses 46, 47. The apostles have not been able to heal somebody, and so they begin to wonder in their hearts, well, which one of us is the greatest? And Christ perceives their heart, takes a child, sets him by him. Notice, whosoever, Jesus says, shall receive this child in my name, he receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Jesus says, if you receive this child in my name, then you're receiving me. Jesus says, therefore, if you receive me, you're receiving the one that sent me, that being God. The least shall be the greatest among you. Must receive Jesus. How? By obedience. The least shall be greatest. I'm fine with being the least in the kingdom, dear Lord. Dear friends, I just want to be in the kingdom. I want to be of some use to my Lord and Savior. I think about a song written by Country Music Hall of Fame member and Songwriter Hall of Fame member Don Schlitz. He wrote the song The Gambler for Kenny Rogers in the 70s. Bobby Bear and others have had hits on that song, but you probably remember Kenny's the best. We're not going to look at that, but Don Schlitz, 20 years later in 1999, had a song that Kenny Rogers took again to the top of the charts called The Greatest. And I like to think about the lyrics of that song as we study this passage. Listen into this. If you don't know this song, little boy in a baseball bat and a baseball hat stands in the field with his ball and bat. Says, I am the greatest player of them all. Put his bat on his shoulder and tosses up the ball. The ball goes up and the ball comes down. He swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still he can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground. Now the little boy doesn't say a word. He picks up his ball. He is undeterred. Says, I am the greatest that has ever been. He grits his teeth and he tries it again. And the ball goes up and the ball comes down. He swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still he can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground. He makes no excuses. He shows no fear. He closes his eyes and listens to the cheers. Little boy, he adjusts his hat, picks up his ball, stares at his bat, says, I am the greatest, and the game is on the line. And he gives his all one last time. And the ball goes up, and the moon's so bright, he swings his bat with all his might. The world's so still as still can be, the baseball falls, and that's strike three. Now it's supper time, and his mama calls. Little boy starts home with his bat and ball. Says, I am the greatest, and that is a fact. But even I didn't know I could pitch like that. Says, I am the greatest, and that is understood. But even I didn't know I could pitch that good. See, dear friends, little boy, in one hand, he lost the game. Three strikes and you're out. Yet on the other hand, he was the greatest because he struck himself out and he was the pitcher. Oh, dear friends, to be have the mind of a child, at least with that, to accept God and his commands and obey them. What's the lesson here? Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. You know, Jesus Christ says in the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 28 through 30, a passage we go to oftentimes for comfort. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Jesus Christ says he is meek and lowly. Dear friends, we can go to him. He is bold. He has a controlled defense when he encounters people. For instance, in John chapter 8, verses 13 through 59, when people want to berate him, when people want to get him off kilter, he does not do that. He is our ultimate example. I go back in my mind to John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11, when he's questioned by Pilate. Notice this, our Lord and Savior, remember the Godhead who was there in the beginning. John 1:1, he submits to the very creature in this instance that he created. Pilate said unto Jesus, John 19:10, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and I have the power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Wherefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. He submitted to man. Man wanted him dead. That was God's ultimate plan. You know, in his last hours on earth, Philippians 2, verse 8, Jesus willingly submitted unto death. Paul says, even to the death of the cross. He is the ultimate example of humility. In fact, Paul used Jesus as an example when he wrote to the church at Philippi. They were experiencing internal conflicts. He says, let this mind be in you, Philippians 2 and 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus remained Lord while becoming human. He literally emptied himself of humanity and became human. Yet he still remained God in the flesh. Dear friends, remember, no healthy relationship can be maintained without humility. And when we are practicing humility, we can be afraid of people taking advantage of us. Remember, the same one, the same Jesus Christ, who submitted to God's will, who left heaven to come down to earth to die for my sins and your sins upon the cross. Dear friends, he's the same one who furiously overturned corrupt practices of those in the temple. He does it twice, at the beginning of his ministry, John 2, and also at the end, because they did not learn their lesson. This whole time, although we've enjoyed going through the ninth chapter of the book of Luke, we've been trying to, and there's still more Luke to go. We will run out of time before we can do that, though. We've been looking at Jesus. Jesus Christ, my best friend, hopefully yours as well, the Savior, Redeemer of all mankind. He is the ultimate example of humility. One who is humble. One who bows prostrate before God. Submitting completely to his will. That's what Christ prays in the garden. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so we conclude our study today with Jesus, how he is the ultimate example of humility. If you would like to study the first part in this series or any of the other ones, this is the 85th time we've come together in this format. So if you want to study any of the other ones, they're all online on my website, free to stream or download for you. ReadingTheWord.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, ReadingTheWord.net. Click on where it says the audio files. You can also read bulletin articles there as well. We'll end this study the same time we have every lesson. Hope you can join us next time, same time. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.